Hello and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on secure manageable messaging. My name is Aaron Clutter. As in previous installments of this webcast series, we continue to play the part of a consultant firm hired by the Contoso company to help move their infrastructure from a basic to dynamic environment. Today, our focus will be on working with the security and networking part of the core I/O model, in particular, secure messaging. As Contoso continues to grow and adapt, we must help them overcome new challenges. We've already set up and configured Microsoft Exchange Server 2003 as their email platform, but now we must secure it from viruses and other dangers. We'll discuss the specific challenges and implement the necessary solutions to keep the email at Contoso safe. Spam, junk mail, and beacon finding code are also threats that we must examine and overcome. We'll explore the options available to combat these later on. And finally, we'll look at ways in which we can provide secure access to email and other corporate resources to remote and roaming users. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or from other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. First, we'll be working exclusively on Windows Server 2003 and Windows XP. You should have a solid mastery of the user interface for these operating systems to get the most from this session. As the focus of this session will be on securing and managing email, you should also have some experience with email applications, in particular Exchange Server 2003. In addition, we'll be using ISA Server 2006 to help protect our email and other internal servers. An understanding of firewall concepts, such as server publishing and VPN client access, will be beneficial. To cover the topics mentioned and keep the session flow going, we have divided the session up into the following agenda items. We'll begin by looking at where Contoso is today, what we've done so far, and where we're going. Next, we'll talk about solutions available to help secure inbound email. We'll also look at how to help secure email internally from viruses and other threats. Then we'll cover some anti-spam solutions. And finally, we'll show how to provide safe and secure access to email and other applications through the firewall. But first, let's look at the environment in which we'll be working today. The demonstrations today will take place in this environment. We have a single domain, contoso.com, with a domain controller, SEA-DC01, an Exchange 2003 server, SEA-EXC01, an ISA Server 2006 server, SEA-ISA01, and a Windows XP workstation that we will use as a remote client computer. So let's take a look at what we've done at Contoso so far. The vision of Infrastructure Optimization, or I/O, is to help customers realize the value of their IT infrastructure, to make the IT infrastructure a strategic asset that enables agility within their organization and ultimately help them create an infrastructure for a people-ready business. As consultants, we are basing our solutions on the concepts presented in the core I/O to help Contoso move from a basic infrastructure to a dynamic one. So far in this webcast series, we've addressed Contoso's identity and access management challenges, as well as presented solutions for desktop, server, and device management. The goal of our session today is to present solutions related to the security and networking component of the core I/O, with Microsoft Exchange Server 2003 being the central focus. With that in mind, let's look at where Contoso is today. Early on in this webcast series, we covered the first part of the core I/O, identity and access management. Our goal was to provide single sign-on to network resources, enforce password security, and implement centralized, scalable management. The first step was to deploy Active Directory. Next, we implemented group policy to enforce password security and manage servers and desktops. Finally, we configured Microsoft Identity Integration Server, or MIIS 2003, to provide account provisioning and password synchronization between Active Directory and non-Active Directory-aware platforms, including a legacy web application and Linux servers. Then we moved on to the desktop server and device management portion of the core I/O. With Active Directory and remote installation services, we were able to stage low-touch remote installations for new client workstations. Using Systems Management Server, or SMS 2003, we inventoried the hardware and software of existing client workstations and prepared software deployment packages to help standardize the workstation infrastructure. This was all part of our main objective, which was to qualify Contoso as a dynamic desktop server and device management core I/O infrastructure by being able to use zero-touch deployment methods to roll out new client workstations. Today, we'll work with the next part of the core I/O, security and networking. Contoso has been using Microsoft Exchange Server 2003 as their email platform, but has concerns that as the company grows, they'll become a bigger target for viruses, spam, and other email threats. We've identified several key challenges to overcome. First, we need to enable an environment that helps keep users and computers safe from viruses, spam, and junk email. We also need to provide secure access for remote and mobile users to email and other network resources. And finally, we must be able to monitor and easily manage the solution that we implement. Several solutions can be deployed that meet these challenges. For protection against spam and viruses, Microsoft Exchange Hosted Services, or MEHS, ISA Server 2006, and Antigen for Exchange all provide solutions that meet these challenges. We'll discuss each of these in more detail later on in this session. To provide secure access to remote users, we'll deploy and configure ISA Server 2006. This will allow us to publish our mail and application servers, as well as provide VPN access to roaming clients. Microsoft Operations Manager, or MOM 2005, will be used to manage the Exchange and ISA servers. MOM is already implemented, and it fits with the identity management structure we've put in place. We'll look more closely at monitoring and managing the infrastructure with MOM 2005 in future webcasts. Now that we've had a chance to talk about the general goals and challenges facing Contoso today, let's move on and discuss how we're going to implement the specific solutions that we've discussed. We'll first look at how we can help secure inbound email and protect our users and computers before the email even reaches our Exchange servers. At Contoso, email is mission critical, but it remains vulnerable to a growing array of threats. Viruses, worms, denial of service attacks, spam, and the need to satisfy a growing set of government regulations and legal actions all make effective messaging security and management increasingly difficult. We've chosen to use Microsoft Exchange Hosted Services for messaging security and management. It's composed of four distinct services that will help protect Contoso from email-borne malware, satisfy retention requirements for compliance, encrypt data to preserve confidentiality, and preserve access to email during and after emergency situations. The services are deployed over the Internet using a software-as-a-service model, which helps minimize additional capital investment, free up IT resources to focus on other value-producing initiatives, and mitigate messaging risks before they reach the corporate firewall. Exchange Hosted Filtering incorporates multiple filters to help actively protect inbound and outbound email from spam, viruses, phishing scams, and email policy violations. The service employs multi-layered defenses to help block email-borne malware from reaching the corporate gateway. In addition, the service provides both rich tools for writing rules to help enforce corporate and regulatory policies governing email usage, and disaster recovery tools to queue mail for delivery in the event of an email server outage. Exchange Hosted Archive is an advanced message archiving system for email and instant messages. With laws being passed that govern the length of time business email is retained, the manner in which it must be preserved, and specific message review requirements, the need for a centralized multitasking mail repository is growing. In addition, the increasing likelihood that email will be required for legal discovery encourages enterprises to take a proactive approach to email and instant message retention policies to mitigate risk. Email has evolved from a simple communications tool into a mission-critical application that supports all aspects of a business. Without access to email, productivity can grind to a halt, and the loss of critical information exchanged through email can be disastrous. Exchange Hosted Continuity provides a security-enhanced and intuitive web interface through which users can access their previous 30 days of email and can compose and send new messages in real time during a primary mail system outage. Exchange Hosted Encryption is a convenient, easy-to-use email encryption service that helps to safely deliver your confidential business communications. Government and industry regulations offer even more compelling reasons for corporations to increase the security of messages to help meet compliance requirements. However, existing solutions, such as server-to-server level encryption, public key infrastructure or PKI, and password-protected files, can be expensive and complicated to integrate and deploy for communication with parties outside of your organization. These solutions do not provide the flexibility, sophistication, or ease of use that corporate users need to deploy an email encryption for external communications. This service enables users to send and receive encrypted email directly from their desktops as easily as regular email. Using a simple process, users can encrypt and deliver any business communication without purchasing, configuring, and maintaining complex hardware and software. Exchange Hosted Encryption is deployed over the Internet, which helps minimize upfront capital investment, free up IT resources to focus on value-producing initiatives, and mitigate messaging risks before they reach the corporate network. Let's take a look at some examples of how Exchange Hosted services work. Currently, we have a single Exchange server at the main Contoso site. The DNS Mail Exchange, or MX record, indicates that email is delivered directly to this server. With just a simple MX record configuration change, Exchange Hosted Services is up and running quickly. There's no additional hardware to provision, no additional software to buy, install, or configure, and no expensive training required for the IT staff. If an inbound email contains a virus, Exchange Hosted Filtering helps protect us from the known viruses and provides zero-day threat protection against virus outbreaks. At the core of the service's virus-fighting strategy are multiple antivirus engines that are integrated at the application programming interface level to continually provide critical virus definition updates. Exchange Hosted Filtering uses at least three different antivirus engines at all times, with the ability to immediately engage additional engines when acute threats warrant additional coverage. Similarly, spam is blocked by Exchange Hosted Filtering. Powered by multiple filtering engines and an around-the-clock team of anti-spam experts, Exchange Hosted Filtering virtually eliminates spam from inboxes, helping provide bandwidth for legitimate corporate use, free up precious server and storage resources, and decrease the risk of loss of sensitive information or identity theft. Captured spam is routed to the spam quarantine folder and can be accessed by administrators or end users at any time through an intuitive web-based interface. An email notification that lists newly quarantined spam can be configured to be sent to each valid email address. This simplifies the end user experience by making review of spam simple and effective. If an email is destined for Contoso is deemed safe by Exchange Hosted Services, it is then forwarded on to the company, where users will retrieve it as normal. If the Exchange server at Contoso goes offline, or if our internet connection is disrupted somehow, new inbound email is queued at the Exchange Hosted Services site. If Contoso still has internet access, users can access the password-protected off-site message repository at any time to read, compose, and reply to messages. After the connection to the primary email system is restored, messages received during the outage are automatically restored. Any messages sent by means of the web-based interface can be optionally restored to the primary mail system to complete disaster recovery operations. Because it's always on, Exchange Hosted Continuity can always be used to restore messages that may have been lost or deleted from the primary email environment. The service also includes a set of continuity management tools that can be used to deliver communications to end users during an outage. We'll see how to configure and use Exchange-hosted services in the following demonstration. In this demonstration, we'll tour the Exchange-hosted services admin center interface and then show how to create simple policy filter rules. We'll begin by logging on to the Microsoft Exchange Hosted Services Admin Center web interface. This tool allows us to monitor and adjust the various services available through EHS, including the ability to modify filtering options and to run reports on messages that have been processed. At the top of the page is the sub-navigation menu. This contains links to major items that let you navigate to other areas within the web interface. Upon logging on to the Admin Center, we arrive at the News page. This is an informational resource area containing information on the EHS network status, network traffic, service documentation, and important news announcements. All information presented in this area is based upon network-wide statistics and does not pertain to your specific organization. At the top of the page is the reporting dashboard. This visualization provides a percentile summary of traffic across the EHS network. It's broken into three areas: spam, top viruses detected, and top attachment extension types. Below this area are five tabs. The first is the general information tab. This is used to provide pertinent details on news regarding EHS, such as the announcement of new data centers or service releases. Any system-wide notifications or maintenance updates will also be shown here, so be sure to reference this page frequently. The Virus Updates tab provides information about any medium to high-risk viruses that have recently emerged. Here you'll be able to view a description of the new variants as well as a point in time in which a definition became available. The Network Alerts tab provides a posting of any service issues that may currently be affecting mail delivery. For example, this is where you'd find alerts regarding mail delays. The Resource Center tab makes available EHS tutorial guides and service documentation, including references for services, filtering, and spam quarantine. And the Training and Group Classes tab provides information on the various live training sessions available. If you'd like to refresh your knowledge or arrange training for new staff, consult this tab for a convenient appointment time. The Domains tab can be considered the main area within the Admin Center interface. The majority of EHS configuration takes place here. This page is divided into several areas. On the main tab, you'll find the Activate Domain checkbox. Domains that have been configured and are ready to receive mail are activated here. The catch-all feature allows you to have mail for a subdomain such as hr.contoso.com to be filtered as the indicated parent profile. In this way, you would not have to configure options for separate domains. The inbound mail server is the IP address for the inbound mail server for this domain. It is possible to configure multiple inbound SMTP locations, although we won't cover that here. More information on this subject can be found in the Resource Center that we talked about earlier on the main Admin Center page. The Spam Filter tab allows access to the custom spam filter management controls and determines how mail marked as spam will be processed. There are three default levels of spam protection in the form of an IP address block list, a fingerprinting database that allows EHS to identify new types of spam as it arrives, and a heuristic filter where point scores are assigned to the different attributes throughout the message to help further mark a message as spam. The notification option allows users to view spam that has been quarantined. This notification will give them a snapshot of recently filtered spam messages so that they can identify any false positives. Spam notifications can be sent in plain text or HTML form. To view a sample, you can click the sample notification link. For example, we can see a sample of an HTML spam quarantine notification. From the spam notification window, a user can log on to his or her spam quarantine account, salvage an email, or report a quarantined message as a false positive. Any user with access to the spam quarantine section of the interface can manage his or her own account this way, alleviating the need for IT intervention. On the virus filter tab, you'll see a statement of the three virus scanning engines that are actively scanning for viruses on inbound and outbound email at any given time. The policy filter tab is designed to allow administrators to custom fit the filter functionality of EHS to their organizational needs. These configuration options give us the ability to perform a variety of actions based on the characteristics of the message. Any rules that have been created will be found in the domain-wide rules section below. Currently, there is a rule in place that rejects inbound email with the extensions EXE, PIF, SCR, or VBS, which are file extensions commonly associated with files containing viruses or malicious code. To add a new rule to the policy filter, simply click the Add New Rule button. EHS offers a robust policy creation tool, allowing you to create highly granular rules, including those based on content. Should you need additional help in creating a rule, a link is provided that offers detailed help. When creating a new policy rule, begin under the General section. Here you can specify whether the rule should apply to all domains within your organization or just to the domain on which it is being created. In this case, the rule we're creating will apply only to the contoso.com domain. The type list allows you to specify whether the rule should apply to inbound or outbound mail. This new rule will apply filtering on outbound mail. The action list dictates what should be done with the message should its attributes match the rule parameters. Reject will block the message. Redirect will send the message to an indicated local mailbox address. Deliver with BCC is for an administrative copy. And encrypt will mark the message for encryption. For the rule that we are creating, we will reject messages matching the parameters that we define. Any policy rule can be set to expire after a specific date. Once a list expires, it will become inactive, but it will remain in the list of policy rules, so that if you choose to reactivate it, you won't need to create it from scratch again. The Message Parameters section is where you define the delivery characteristics of a message to be filtered. These attributes are implied by several aspects of the message, such as originating IP address, domain, or sender address. You can also define the maximum number of recipients for a message, as well as the maximum message size. The Message Parameter section also contains parameters for allowed character sets. If your organization only does business in English, this can be a good way to filter unwanted email. The Attachment section allows you to determine the types of content or attachment discrimination within a policy rule. This can be dictated by file name or extension. We'll add the EXE, PIF, SCR, and VBS extensions to the list. Now, outbound as well as inbound mail with attachments containing these file extensions will be rejected. The Search Zip Compressed Files option will open any non-password protected archive file to see what they contain and then perform any policy filtering actions based on the file extensions contained therein. Obviously, there are many other parameters that you can define when creating a policy filter rule, but this should give you a good idea of what's involved. That's sufficient for now, so we'll go ahead and save this rule. And now back on the policy filtering page, we can see the new rule that we just created. Any outbound email matching the file extensions that we have specified will now be rejected. The spam quarantine site allows users to review messages addressed to them that have been quarantined as spam or junk email. On this page, we can see that there are literally hundreds of email messages that have been caught and quarantined. This is hardly surprising considering that the statistics shown on the main admin site identified roughly 90% of all inbound email as spam. Users can select the messages that they wish to perform an action on, including deleting the selected message, deleting all messages, or salvaging the selected messages. With Microsoft Exchange-hosted services, we've helped Contoso stop viruses and spam before email ever reaches their site. Let's move on to the next agenda item. Now we'll look at other email challenges and solutions at Contoso. With Microsoft Exchange-hosted services up and running, many of our email problems have been addressed. However, there are still some other challenges that we need to overcome. First, while Microsoft Exchange-hosted services provides initial virus scanning, it's a good idea to have a virus scanning mechanism in place at the local site. This will help prevent inbound email viruses as well as those that are spawned internally, such as those that malicious or unaware users might bring in on their laptop or through an infected file. As with virus protection, it doesn't hurt to have a local solution in place to combat spam. With that in mind, the solution that we provide must offer multiple layers of protection and scanning capabilities. It must also be Microsoft application and Exchange server friendly. Microsoft Antigen offers several solutions that meet these needs. Microsoft Antigen offers several products to help various applications and platforms. First, Antigen for Exchange includes server-level protection against the latest email threats. It can be deployed on front-end and back-end Exchange servers, protecting against perimeter threats, as well as providing internal incident containment. Antigen for SMTP gateways helps protect the email infrastructure against infection and downtime through an approach that emphasizes layered defenses, optimization of server performance and availability, and enforcement of corporate content policies. Combining these protection technologies at the network perimeter helps eliminate the latest email threats before they ever reach users. Microsoft Antigen Spam Manager helps eliminate spam and other undesirable message traffic on gateway and Exchange servers. While typically deployed on SMTP gateways, it can also provide comprehensive protection across Exchange 2000 and Exchange 2003 servers. Administrators have the option of forwarding spam messages to user junk mail folders, sending spam to a corporate quarantine where it can be reviewed, deleted, or forwarded to the original recipient, tagging the message with a subject line prefix or X header line, or simply deleting it at the entry point. Microsoft Antigen solutions are part of our multi-layer email security approach. As we talked about earlier, to protect organizations against external email threats, Microsoft offers Exchange-hosted services, a suite of hosted email security, compliance, and availability services. These services are designed to help protect businesses against the latest email-borne threats without an upfront capital investment in on-site software, hardware, or additional IT staff. Because many threats to Exchange exist outside of the SMTP message stream, we need to put in place firewall-level protection to secure Exchange resources. ISA Server 2006 adds advanced application layer firewall protection for Microsoft Exchange Server, providing greater security than most traditional hardware firewalls. We'll look more closely at ISA Server shortly. For server-level protection, Antigen for SMTP gateways, Antigen for Exchange, and Advanced Spam Manager combine to provide on-premises antivirus and anti-spam protection on perimeter gateway or routing servers, including ISA, as well as on front-end and back-end Exchange servers. Antigen for SMTP gateways helps protect the email infrastructure against infection and downtime at the network perimeter, stopping the latest email threats before they ever reach users. Antigen for Exchange is a server-based antivirus solution that provides comprehensive protection across Exchange 5.5, Exchange 2000, and Exchange 2003 environments. Inbound and outbound scanning is performed at the SMTP stack, and real-time scanning is performed at the Exchange Information Store. Advanced Spam Manager can be deployed on the gateway or Exchange servers and uses multiple techniques to help stop spam before it can affect user productivity. Advanced Spam Manager employs a frequently updated, signature-based anti-spam engine, several layers of content and mail host filtering, and integration with the Exchange 2003 Intelligent Message Filter. In the upcoming demonstration, we'll look at deploying and configuring Antigen for Exchange. In this demonstration, we'll explore the basic functionality of Antigen for Exchange. We'll work with some test viruses to see how the antivirus engines protect the messaging environment by placing them into quarantine before they reach the user's inbox. Each of the Antigen security products uses the common Antigen administrator interface for configuration and management. This interface simplifies your security infrastructure management by allowing administrators to see common settings and options for protecting the various components of your messaging and collaboration environment. This interface is divided into multiple panes, similar to the Microsoft Management Console. The left pane is divided into four sections containing common administrative tasks. The settings area contains the configuration settings for the various scanning engines. Within the filtering area, you'll find the options for filtering messages and files based on their content, as in keywords, or by file format, such as executables. In the operate area, you can start, stop, and schedule scan jobs for individual antigen engines and templates. The report area contains information about the results of each scan, the events that occurred during those scans, and any files quarantined by the engines. Antigen for Exchange uses four templates for scanning for viruses and spam in email messages. It hooks into the SMTP stack and can scan, in real time, all MIME and UUencode-based email, regardless of if it's inbound, outbound, or internal to the Exchange organization. The Antigen real-time scan job runs on the Exchange server to provide immediate scanning of email that is sent to or received by the mailboxes and public folders residing on the server. The Antigen manual scan job can be used to scan messages that are already in mailboxes and public folders. Antigen scans messages passing through the Exchange Message Transfer Agent, or MTA, and inspects all non-SMTP messages. You can manage the scope of the real-time scan by specifying all mailboxes or just specific mailboxes, or you can disable the scan on mailboxes using similar settings for public folders. Antigen uses up to 8 different scanning engines from popular antivirus vendors. Multiple engines provide extra security by allowing you to draw upon the expertise of multiple virus labs, as well as offering a variety of scanning methods. These scan jobs include settings for both antivirus and anti-spam. The bias setting controls how many scan engines are used to provide certainty that a message does not contain malicious content. The settings range from maximum performance, using only one scan engine, to maximum certainty, using all available scan engines. When using multiple engines, only one of the engines needs to mark the content as infected for actions to be taken. By default, infected files will be quarantined on the server to prevent the spread of malicious code. So let's see how Antigen deals with both clean and infected mail sent within the organization. Microsoft Outlook 2003 is configured on this computer as a client for the Exchange server. Throughout this session, we'll send email messages to the Aaron Kahn account, which we are currently using. In this way, we'll immediately see the results of the various configuration settings on the Exchange server. It may take a moment for the message to arrive, so in the meantime, let's compose another email to ourselves. Now we'll send a similar message with a file attachment to test the results. VirusA.com is a copy of the industry standard ICAR.com antivirus test file. This is a safe virus that does not replicate itself and only displays a single line of text in a command prompt window when executed. All antivirus products on the market should be able to detect this file. Note that Microsoft Outlook does not detect the particular attachment as a virus. Outlook will always display this message for any file that contains a particular file extension, such as .exe, .com, .bat, and .vbs. After a few seconds, the messages appear in the inbox. The first test message came through just fine. However, when we click on the second email, we see that Antigen replaced the virusa.com attachment with a file called virusa.txt. The text file provides the user with information about why Antigen blocked the infected file. Antigen detected the ICAR test string virus. You would expect that Antigen would quarantine the virus on an inbound mail item, but if we look in the Sent Items folder, we can see that it also catches the file as it is placed in the mailbox's Sent Items folder. Now back on the Exchange server, we'll return to the Antigen administrator and configure some additional basic settings. Each time Antigen finds a virus, it replaces the file with a text document containing the text provided here. You can customize this document to provide you and the user with any information needed about why the file was quarantined. For this server, let's add a line to the deletion text to identify the virus engine that detected the malicious code. To help, the interface includes a number of keyword variables that will automatically be replaced with information on the server. Many of the keywords start with the letters IS, ES, IR, ER, and so on. These initials stand for internal sender, external sender, internal recipient, and so on. Since we changed the setting, we need to save our changes in order for them to take effect. By navigating to the reporting pane, we can access the incidents area and see the list of events recorded by Antigen. This table includes information about every infected file identified as infected and basic statistics for this Antigen server. Looking at the incident column, we can see that the file was identified as the ICAR virus and that it was detected by multiple scan engines. Our current Antigen configuration is licensed to use 5 of the 8 available scan engines. However, not all of these engines may have current signature databases. Antigen automatically favors the engines running more current virus signature databases over those engines with older databases. We can also access the quarantine area from the reporting section of the console. The quarantine maintains a complete copy of the infected file. When the quarantine purge is enabled, Antigen removes all files that are in quarantine longer than the indicated number of days. By default, that is 30 days. Next, we'll look at how Antigen detects infected files within compressed or zipped archives. For this example, we've created a three-layer zip file called game1.zip. This file contains a zip file called coolgame.zip. Within this archive is the infected file coolgame.com. Let's return to Outlook to create a new mail message with the game1 as an attachment. So now we'll send another email to Aaron Kahn with this infected zip file as the attachment. At first glance, it seems that the file made it to our inbox without being detected by Antigen. So let's go ahead and run the game on the computer since it must be safe. Outlook warns us that we should only open attachments from trusted sources. Since the file made it through the Antigen engine, it should be safe. However, the file still contains the coolgame.zip file. Antigen has detected the virus inside the nested zip files and replaced only the infected file with the replacement text file. This file was also scanned and detected by multiple scan engines. By default, Antigen checks compressed files to a maximum of 5 levels deep and deletes attachments that exceed that maximum. That should give you a good idea of how we've helped Contoso deploy Antigen to protect inbound, outbound, and intrasite email from viruses. That will help keep our Exchange servers safe from viruses and worms, but what about spam? Industry analysts have estimated that spam accounts for anywhere from 50 to 70% of all email traffic. Spam is not only a threat to corporate productivity, it has also become a common carrier for malicious code. Microsoft Outlook 2003, teamed with Microsoft Exchange 2003, provides several built-in spam fighting capabilities. Exchange Server 2003 includes several tools to fight spam. Improved Outlook Web Access provides fast access to Exchange Server from the Internet with greater security. The new user interface is updated to mirror the Outlook 2003 user interface and includes HTML content blocking for security. HTML and attachment blocking help prevent spam and potential beacon finding code. You can also upload Outlook Safe and Block Senders lists to Exchange Server 2003 for filtering. Microsoft Exchange Intelligent Message Filter is integrated in Exchange Server 2003 for server-side filtering of unsolicited junk email messages and also in Outlook 2003 for client-side filtering. Exchange Intelligent Message Filter uses Microsoft's Smart Screen technology to help reduce unsolicited junk email messages. By default, content from outside your network is blocked in Outlook 2003 and Outlook Web Access. This feature helps prevent spammers from identifying valid email addresses through links to external content. You can, however, override this feature to view external content. And as we mentioned earlier, you can also upload Outlook Safe and Block Senders lists to Exchange Server 2003 for filtering. We'll see these features in action in the following demonstration. In this demonstration, we'll look at the spam fighting features of Exchange Server 2003 and Microsoft Outlook 2003. Let's move on to the last item on the agenda. With robust email, virus, and spam solutions in place, our next challenge is to provide security-enhanced access to the network and mail servers for remote users. Specifically, here are the challenges that we need to overcome. First and foremost, we want to provide a safe and secure way for remote and traveling users to access their email. We also want to provide access for mobile phones and Windows-powered mobile devices. And finally, email isn't the only thing that remote users need access to. Often, users on the road need to be able to reach corporate network resources, such as documents saved on the local file server. Having identified the specific challenges, here are the solutions that meet them. First, with ISA Server 2006, we can publish the Exchange server to enable Outlook web access over HTTPS. Outlook Mobile Access and Exchange ActiveSync are installed by default on all servers running Exchange Server, offering support for mobile phones and Windows-powered mobile devices. And finally, to allow remote access to the corporate network, ISA Server 2006 can provide security-enhanced VPN access. ISA Server 2006 plays a big role in providing remote access. ISA Server 2006 is the integrated edge security gateway that helps protect your IT environment from internet-based threats while providing your users with fast and secure remote access to applications and data. Part of the justification for choosing this product is that it integrates well with both the Identity Management Solution, Active Directory, and the IT Management Solution, MOM2005, at Contoso. ISA Server 2006 also provides firewall, VPN, and application publishing solutions. At Contoso, we need access to email now, and we will need access to other applications later. Therefore, we need a robust publishing solution. We'll show how ISA Server 2006 can be configured to safely publish the Exchange server and provide client VPN access in the final demonstration. In this demonstration, we'll configure IIS on the Exchange server to require SSL connections, create a web listener, and then publish the Exchange server for Outlook web access, as well as Exchange over HTTP. We'll then log on to the Exchange server from an external client and verify that it works. And last, we'll enable and test client VPN access. In this demonstration, we'll publish Exchange through the ISA server in two ways. One will allow access using Outlook web access. This will allow users to check their email using a standard web browser. We'll also publish Exchange using RPC over HTTPS so that users can connect with the Outlook 2003 client. This allows users to take full advantage of such features as being able to synchronize their calendar. First, we must install the RPC over HTTP proxy component on Windows Server 2003. The RPC over HTTP proxy component is responsible for the encapsulation of RPC packets over HTTP or HTTPS and is necessary for the allow RPC over HTTPS publishing rule. The installation wizard requires a single DLL file to install the RPC over HTTP proxy component, which we have copied to this server. Now, in order to allow security-enhanced access to the Exchange server for roaming users, we must first configure some security settings in IIS on the Exchange server. First, we need to assign the proper server certificate to the default web site. The server certificate, named SEA-EXC01.contoso.com, was created earlier during setup. It's important to select the correct certificate. You must only assign a certificate with the server authentication purpose and not a certificate with any other purpose. After signing the certificate, the default website can now use the SEA EXC01.Contoso.com web server certificate for HTTPS connections. To avoid the use of unencrypted HTTP when connecting to the Exchange server, we need to configure the Exchange virtual directories in IIS to require the use of HTTPS. For RPC over HTTP, we need to modify the RPC virtual directory to disallow anonymous access and to use basic authentication. When we select the basic authentication method, a warning dialog box informs us that passwords may be sent in clear text. However, since we are using SSL connections, we can safely ignore this. Next, we must enable SSL for the RPC virtual directory. Again, this requires a valid server certificate on the Exchange server. And for additional security, we can require 128-bit encryption. That takes care of the RPC over HTTP configuration requirements needed for IIS. For Outlook Web Access, there are three virtual directories on which we must modify the security settings. First is the Exchange directory. Next is the EXCH Web virtual directory. Finally, we need to configure the public directory to require SSL. Now we need to open the registry and configure the RPC proxy server on Exchange Server 2003 to use a specific port range. The registry key already exists, but we must modify the data by specifying a port range of 6001 through 6002 and 6004 for the NetBIOS and DNS fully qualified domain names of the Exchange server. Having done this, we can now move back to the ISA server and publish the Exchange server. As part of the setup for this demonstration, we've installed certificates on both the ISA server and the Exchange server. This will allow us to require secure communications between both external clients in the ISA server and the ISA server in the Exchange server. With the certificates in place and the Exchange server properly configured, we can easily publish the Exchange server for Outlook Web Access. This will allow roaming and remote users to access their email using Outlook Web Access through the firewall and connect to the Exchange server that resides safely on the internal network. Exchange publishing rules are specific to whichever version of Exchange that you wish to publish. For example, Exchange Server 2000 and 5.5 do not support Outlook over HTTP, Outlook Mobile Access, or Exchange Active Sync. By default, Exchange Outlook Web Access is selected. ISA Server 2006 also allows you to publish the same server for different client mail services from a single wizard, so we'll also select the option for Outlook RPC over HTTP. New to ISA Server 2006 is the ability to publish a set of load-balanced servers or a server farm from within a single wizard. For Outlook Web Access, it is highly recommended that you use SSL on both client connections as well as the connection between the ISA server and the Exchange server. The internal site name is the actual name of the server that we are publishing, in this case SEA EXC01.Contoso.com. Notice that this is the name of the certificate that's installed on the Exchange server. The public name is the name of the server that you've advertised to public DNS servers. The public name, mail.contoso.com, will actually resolve to an external IP address on the ISIS server. For secure connections, there must be a certificate installed on the ISIS server that matches this name. Next, we need to select the web listener. A web listener determines the following: the IP addresses and ports on the specified networks that will listen for web requests, the authentication method that will be used, and the number of connections that are allowed. Web listeners can be created ahead of time through the toolbox and can also be used by more than one publishing rule. Since this listener will be used to listen for HTTPS traffic from the external network, we'll give it a logical name to identify it as such. Web listeners can be used to establish either unencrypted or SSL secured client connections. The web listener network or networks that you select depend on which network clients will use to connect to the published web server. By selecting the external network, we're selecting all IP addresses on the ISIS server computer that are associated with the external network adapter. For SSL secured connections, a valid certificate must be installed. By default, this window will only show valid certificates, thus preventing you from mistakenly selecting the wrong certificate. As we've already mentioned, the certificate must match the name of the server being published. Even though the internal name is scaexe01.contoso.com, the server will be published under the name mail.contoso.com. You can choose from several client authentication methods, but for Outlook Web Access, use HTML form authentication. HTML form authentication offers some distinct advantages. Most importantly, credential information is not cached on the client computer. This is particularly important in a scenario where users are connecting to your Outlook Web Access server from public computers, where you would not want user credentials cached. Users are required to re-authenticate if they close the browser, log off from a session, or navigate to another website. You can also configure a maximum idle session timeout so that if a user is idle for a prolonged period of time, re-authentication is required. ISIS Server 2006 provides a single sign-on functionality that allows users to move safely from one application to another without having to re-authenticate. For example, an authenticated user can move securely and seamlessly from Outlook Web Access to a SharePoint site by clicking a link in an email message without being forced to supply credentials again. After ISIS Server 2006 has validated the credentials, it uses one of these methods to delegate the authentication to servers that it is publishing. Specific delegation methods are valid for different types of client credentials. For Outlook RPC over HTTP traffic, we must use basic authentication delegation. This rule will apply to all users. And now that we have finished with the wizard, we'll accept and save the changes. This computer represents a client on the internet. It has three network adapters. One connects to the internal network, one connects to the external network, which represents our virtual internet network, and the third connects to the actual internet. By disabling the internal connection and enabling the external one, this computer is no longer directly connected to the internal network and will be treated as a computer on the internet by the ISIS server. So let's test our settings and see if we can still access our email. First, we'll use Outlook Web Access, so we'll open up Internet Explorer and type the published address for the Exchange server. We're using HTTPS to specify an SSL secured connection. We have reached the Outlook Web Access logon page. We'll enter the username and password for a user within the Contoso organization. The Outlook Web Access client is designed to look and behave much like the Outlook 2003 client. Having successfully logged on, let's send a test message to Aaron Khan and verify that everything is working properly. We are able to send and receive email through Outlook Web Access. We can simply close this window or click Log Off. Either way, the temporary cookie is destroyed, and the next time a user tries to log on, he or she will be prompted to supply network credentials. So now that we know Outlook Web Access is working, let's try to connect to the Exchange server using HTTP over RPC. But first, we need to change how the Outlook client connects to the Exchange server. For this type of connection, we need to specify a proxy server, which is, of course, the ISA server. In the Exchange Proxy Settings dialog box, we'll supply the fully qualified domain name for the published mail server, which is mail.contoso.com. Remember, this name must actually resolve in public DNS to an IP address on the external network of the ISA server. Next, we need to enter the authentication information for the mail server. This is mail.contoso.com with the MSSTD colon prefix. Finally, for Outlook to connect using RPC over HTTP, we must specify basic authentication. After making these changes, we need to restart the Outlook client. Now let's open up Outlook and log on. We have successfully connected. If we look at the connection status, we can see that the client has successfully connected to the Exchange server using HTTPS. So now we've got two ways in which remote users can retrieve their email at Contoso. Sometimes users may need access to network resources that are not published to the internet. For example, a file share on the internal network where user data files are stored. Allowing access to these types of resources can be done by enabling VPN client access. On the ISA server, we'll see how to enable and configure VPN access for roaming clients. For VPN client connections, networks from which clients can connect to the ISA server with VPN enabled are called access networks. For site-to-site connections, where a VPN connection between two ISA servers is established, an access network is a network where the remote VPN server is located. By default, for both site-to-site connections and for client connections, the VPN access network is set only to the external network. Connected VPN clients can be assigned an IP address from either a DHCP server or a static address pool. In this case, addresses will come from a static pool. Since we are using a static address pool, we'll also assign a DNS server. This will allow connected VPN clients to resolve internal computer names using the private DNS server on the internal network. The authentication of VPN clients is an important security concern. Authentication methods typically use an authentication protocol that is negotiated during the connection establishment process. ISA Server 2006 supports MSChap version 1 and MSChap v2, which provides stronger security for remote access connections. Extensible Authentication Protocol, or EAP, with a smart card or other certificate, is also supported. The other protocols should only be used for VPN clients on Microsoft Windows 98 or NT 4.0 that do not have the latest VPN client software installed. If you want to use Radius to authenticate VPN users, you can configure that as well. With the address assignment properties configured, we can now enable VPN client access. You can also specify the maximum number of concurrent client connections. When you enable VPN, the routing and remote access, or RRES service, is automatically configured and started. ISA Server 2006 depends on and enhances the basic VPN functionality enabled by RRES in Windows Server 2003. While most VPN configuration is done using ISA Server Management, you may also configure some additional settings using Routing and Remote Access. Normally, only users with the dial-in permission set on their user account will be able to connect through VPN. You may restrict this through an RRES policy, and you can limit this further by selecting specific users or groups. Next, select which VPN tunneling protocol to use when connecting to ISA Server, TPTP or L2TP. TPTP connections require only user-level authentication through a PPP-based authentication protocol. L2TP over IPsec connections require the same user-level authentication and, in addition, computer-level authentication using computer certificates. User mapping is used to map VPN clients from non-Windows namespaces, such as Radius or EAP authenticated users, to the Windows namespace. This allows firewall policy access rules specifying user sets for Windows users and groups to be applied to these users as well. Usernames will be mapped to the contoso.com domain. Now that we have configured VPN client access, we'll save the changes and try it out. Now back on the remote client, we'll create a new VPN connection. The wizard will walk us through everything we need in order to configure the VPN connection. We'll call the connection Contoso VPN. Next, we need to enter the hostname or IP address to the VPN server. The new network connection can be saved for only this profile, or it can be made available to anyone who uses the computer. So now we'll try to establish the VPN connection using Aaron Khan's user account. Note that this account must have dial-in permissions to connect. A pop-up balloon lets us know that we're now connected. By deploying and configuring ISA Server 2006, we've enabled users to check their email and access the corporate network remotely. That just about wraps up this session. Let's look at what we've accomplished today. In this session, we focused on implementing secure, manageable messaging at Contoso. Solutions such as Microsoft Exchange Hosted Services, Antigen for Exchange, and ISA Server 2006 have helped Contoso continue to move from a basic to dynamic infrastructure. Here are the key points to take away with you. First, Microsoft Exchange Hosted Services provides a first line of defense for inbound email. Composed of four distinct services that help organizations protect themselves, the services are deployed over the Internet, which helps minimize additional capital investment, frees up IT resources to focus on other value-producing initiatives, and mitigates messaging risks before they reach the corporate firewall. There's no additional hardware to provision, no additional software to buy, install, or configure, and no expensive training required for your IT staff. You can further protect local resources by deploying Antigen for Exchange on front-end or back-end Exchange servers. Antigen's server-level antivirus, anti-spam, and content filtering products help businesses protect their email and collaboration environments against viruses, worms, spam, and inappropriate content. Finally, with ISO Server 2006, you can safely publish your Exchange servers to enable remote access using Outlook Web Access or Exchange over HTTP. Furthermore, you can provide security-enhanced access to corporate resources by enabling VPN client access through ISO Server. To get more information on the products and technologies we've covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/TechNet. You can also visit www.microsoft.com/TechNet/HOT-15 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available for Microsoft. Secure Messaging with Microsoft Exchange Server 2003, published by the Microsoft Press, covers topics from risk assessment to implementation to auditing procedures, providing critical guidance to help enhance the security of your messaging infrastructure. Written by a network security expert who works closely with the Microsoft Exchange Server team, this guide delivers essential information and advice to help protect your clients, servers, and communications channels. There are also a number of good books from other publishers. Microsoft ISO Server 2006 Unleashed, published by SAMS, is available for pre-order and covers all the new and improved features of ISO Server 2006. There's also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills in implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you set yourself apart from the next candidate? The Microsoft certification program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP. You can become a fully certified Systems Administrator, or MCSA, Systems Engineer, MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you might find interesting. To help explain this in more detail, here's Ian Brackenbury, the TechNet Subscriptions Product Manager.
TechNet Plus Subscription introduces its newest offering, TechNet Plus Direct. With TechNet Plus Direct, subscribers get all of the benefits of TechNet Plus for 30% less. Subscribers receive fast, easy access to the tools and information they need to get the most out of Microsoft solutions. A subscription provides IT professionals with immediate online access to all the essential technical resources they need to resolve technical issues faster, get hands-on experience with the latest Microsoft technologies, and build technical skills. Subscribers now get immediate access to all their subscription features in one convenient location, our new online benefits portal. Subscribers get access through subscriber download to Microsoft full version software for evaluation and beta releases without time or feature limits. No more waiting for media shipments. This includes Microsoft Server, client, and application software titles. With full version software, subscribers can make informed decisions about new technologies and deployments at their own pace. For the toughest technical questions, a TechNet Plus subscription also comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. Subscribers can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve their mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed newsgroups. Subscribers can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to their technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. In addition, subscribers can also chat with a Microsoft Search Assistant online for help finding the technical resources they need or for assistance with non-technical questions. Subscribers also get access to technical information and tools, including the TechNet Plus library containing the knowledge base, security updates, service packs, resource kits, and more. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. TechNet Plus is available exclusively online without media shipments. For more information, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. There are a number of free community resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of the product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post questions and, through their subscription ID, are guaranteed a response from Microsoft support professionals and IT experts by the next business day. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can cover on this slide, and the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details about attending a live TechNet event. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk to Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, the TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. And with that, thank you for taking the time to listen to this TechNet session.